pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these ladies and the time that they're taking to learn of your word, to have good fellowship, to be encouraged, and for children encouraged. And Lord, would you bless this time here today? Would you make it profitable, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, as we're continuing on in our series, that God's will is for us to be blessed how much of the time? All the time, 24/7. That's a wonderful thing. And we'll see that in particular in this beatitude. We've looked at more than the beatitudes, but we are taking a week for each beatitude right now because they are so basic and foundational. So Matthew chapter 5 begins the teaching of the Lord on the regard of the spiritual kingdom. And it really was revolutionary. This was not what the Jewish people were looking for. They were wanting to have enough to eat, the Roman Empire off their backs. They wanted independence. And they weren't looking for life transformation, which is exactly what the Lord is talking about here. So we look at chapter 5, and our beatitude for today is found in verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, there is a progression in these beatitudes. Let me quickly review, because it helps bring this beatitude into focus. The first one was, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here you have really the entrance in the door of salvation. Blessed are we when we finally come to the end of our own self-righteousness and realize that we are absolutely poverty-stricken. And we can do nothing to gain God's favor, and that we must have the Lord's salvation. And if we will come to that heart conviction and look to the Lord for salvation, what does it say? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Now, it's hard for us to grasp that word poor or abject poverty. As you know, I've just spent a week in abject poverty, unless you've been in one of those places, you just cannot fathom. The people work that day to eat that night. And that's what you're dealing with. And they don't always eat that night. And even when we have a big get-together like we did in Cambodia, way down south of Phnom Penh, there in Cambodia, it was a big deal that we brought loaves of those little loaves of bread, you know, like Italian, small Italian. And that was a feast. You know, for me, hey, that's just side bread. Where's the real meal, you know? And that's just a different way of thinking. And so they would be very, if they read this, they would have a full understanding of what it means to have nothing. But we have nothing spiritually. And then verse 4 is the proof of that. Blessed are they that mourn, for theirs, for they shall be comforted. In other words, when we understand our sinful condition, and that we have offended a holy God, and that we have no hope in and of ourselves, we mourn and we will be comforted. You will receive salvation. You will receive the power and grace of God. You will receive the love of God. There will be that comfort. Then if we truly have been saved, then our attitude should be, blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who understand they in and of themselves have no rights. All that we have, all that we are, is because of what Christ did for us. So if you really understand the poor in spirit, then you will understand meekness, a submission to the will of God, and you will inherit the earth. In other words, you will begin to experience all that God has planned for you when you allow self-will to get out of the way. By the way, what's the first word in every beatitude?
Blessed.
Blessed. Okay, remember, we're talking about each of these steps are blessing. See, the only reason you got problems today is, I don't mean to be offensive, it's you, and it's me. When we allow Christ to conquer us, blessing begins to flow. Okay. And that's what we're dealing with here. And then last week, or 2 weeks ago, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The minute you realize you're bankrupt, but he's everything, and you've trusted him, and you now have that attitude in your life, you begin to hunger and thirst for him. You hunger and thirst for the one who is truly righteous. And because nothing else is satisfying you. Before you were saved, the world satisfied to some degree, so you were artificially filled. Now you truly begin to hunger and thirst for that which is really important. And if we truly are growing, then we come to the next one, which starts showing outward action. We receive always to give. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now we're talking about ourselves and others. A person who has received mercy should be showing mercy. And I want us to just meditate on this this morning. First of all, let's just remind ourselves today what mercy we have. David said, the mercy of the Lord is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. I will trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will wait on thy name. I'm giving a number of different psalms here. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed one another. And on and on. In fact, that's one of the great themes in Scripture, especially the Old Testament. Mercy, 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 mercy. I will praise thee, O Lord God, for thy mercy. Thy mercy is great to me. Micah the prophet said, who is like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? And these are wonderful, wonderful things. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament said, and this is a very important from Titus chapter 3, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his, according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Folks, it is by God's mercy this world is even in existence. And you realize that the way the world and the universe is made, because of the curse now, energy expands. And the only reason there is no law of physics right now that explains why it's all held together. We know from Colossians 1 that Christ himself holds this universe together. God, in his wrath, has every reason to destroy this rebel planet. God shows us that in the flood. The flood, by the way, was a real, genuine, literal, universal flood that explains, frankly, all of the formations in the world. We'll get into that. But it shows the mercy of God. His heart of true love. We've gone over his attributes last year. And so it's a wonderful thing when you realize that we don't get what we deserve. Everything is filtered through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the Father was merciful to us. Charles Wesley wrote, depths of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Come thou fount of every blessing, Robinson wrote, tune thy heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. You see, now as we're talking about receiving Christ's salvation by being poor in spirit and mourning, having a meek spirit and hungering and thirsting after Christ's righteousness, what will be developed in us is what we're now understanding, and that is how merciful God has been to us. You cannot overthink the mercy of God. In fact, your life will come into proper focus every morning if you have time alone with God, and you spend the first moments of that time alone praising God for who he is and how merciful he's. There have been a few times in my life at very key moments where the Lord has just overwhelmed me with specific reminders of how merciful and how good he has been. I remember my wife sitting up right here reminds me of the night before I was married and just all the events that led up to that, how wonderful the Lord had led. I thought thought about my life and how the answers to prayer that my parents and my grandmother had and so forth. And it was just one of those nights where the mercies of God became very evident. And you know, when you see it that way, that's the opposite of pride. You see, when you take credit, when it's you're dependent on yourself, you're not focusing on the mercy of God. But if you truly have are poor in spirit and have a meek spirit, you realize I am what I am by the grace of God. You know, and we see the Apostle Paul definitely as the greatest Christian of the New Testament day. But if you had met him, you would have been struck by his humility. He was absolutely convinced, though he was an intellectual power, though he was a well-trained leader, you would have been struck with the fact that he had what he had because of God. He was a product of mercy. So that's very important for us in this beatitude, to start with the fact that the first principle is we need to remember that God is merciful and he has shown us mercy. Thankfulness and praise, folks, will solve a lot of your problems. You know, things really get into perspective. Oh, we get bent out of shape. We're frustrated. Why is God letting this happen to me? Stop for a minute and start reminding yourself all he has done. Realize that you are even alive today. And you're going to heaven if you're truly saved. And God has delivered you over and over. Get back on the into the light of his mercy. And all of a sudden, whatever you're frustrated about will begin to get into size. And it really is important. Now, the big point of this, of course, our second principle, is that a Christian is one who himself should be merciful. We have been shown mercy, therefore we should show mercy. And that should just be part of our life. One of the things that binds Christians so often, and it's tragic, because it causes them to lose their blessing and joy, is that they want justice. My rights. This isn't fair. Why is my child treating me this way? Why is my spouse treating me this way? You know, and on. We live, by the way, in a very angry society. We're constantly frustrated about our rights and what we don't have. And we need to realize, folks, if we were dealt with as we deserved, would be a pretty picture. Everything about us is mercy. It's mercy every direction. So if that's the case, then we need to do likewise and show mercy. In fact, not showing mercy, ladies, is a contradiction in who you are. One of the most telling parables that the Lord gave is when he talks about that debt-ridden servant who pled with his master to not send him to prison. And so his master forgave him of this large debt. Remember that? And then what does this guy go out and do? He goes out and the people that owe him money, he doesn't show them mercy and he makes them go to prison. So what did the master do? Into prison, the servant went. It's just a contradiction for a person who has been shown so much mercy not to show mercy. I mean, there's no way you can have a Christian testimony and not show mercy. I mean, there's nothing that's going to ring genuine about your God and about your call for a person to be saved if you are the kind of person that demands your rights, holds people to it. You've got a memory it's written in double ink. It is going, you remember what somebody did against you 35 years ago, and you remember the details. I feel sorry for you. That's a miserable way. It is a wonderful thing to revel in who God is and what he's done for us and let that transfer to other people. Now, mercy is not a parent giving in to its child. That's not mercy. We are to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, mercy is not to tell the truth as a pastor to your people. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about your spirit having a human reaction based upon yourself and what you think you should have and demanding your rights that be given. So let me just give you some of the things here So we need to be merciful in our speech. We should be merciful in our actions. So we should harbor no resentment. You see, bitterness is blaming someone else for our present negative circumstances. And the Bible says that grieves the Holy Spirit. And but so often we blame, we wait for that person to change, we're unhappy, and that resentment is a very dangerous thing. The person who is bitter is the person who loses. You should never say, I'll be happy when. You should say, I will have the fruit of the Spirit, joy now for the glory of God. That's my choice now. I never should be a victim of circumstances. So we should harbor no resentment. We should nourish no spitefulness. We should definitely get, this is one thing we should never, never, never tolerate in our mind is any thoughts of revenge. Never, never, never. In fact, if you maybe grew up that way, you know, some families, that's just the way it is. You have to survive. And it's very understandable, but that's a thought pattern that you have. I'm going to get back at them. Well, that's the opposite of the blessed life. So what I would do is, if that's built into your thought pattern, you've got to break it, and you probably ought to have someone that you trust that understands you and your background and say, you know, I've got to break this. And would you allow me, if I'm starting to think that way, just to ask you to pray for me? Because I've got to stop it. I cannot tolerate it. It is never, never right to want to get back at someone. Listen, when you do that, you die in your soul. You've lost blessing. You've shriveled up. You're in a dangerous spot. Oh, I'd like to get in. That, folks, is as low a level that a Christian can go. Aren't you glad that whenever you do something, God's not up there saying, oh, I'd like to get in. Good. And you can do it right then. You're gone, you know. But he doesn't. He is under the law of his own love. And he's living for you. He is free from the selfishness as we know it. What a God we have, that we can trust that he is merciful. Well, that ought to be your heart. Now, let me say, folks, when people do you wrong, you honestly don't know the whole circumstances many times. And many times they have real needs. Well, obviously they do. And they're bound themselves. And if you will stop and realize that you are a debtor to the Lord, and how much mercy he's shown you, and you let God melt your heart, you will begin to get burdened for them and realize there's a need here. And there's no, and I need to give the benefit of the doubt. Did you know that we always add about 20-30% to what somebody did, if not more? Doesn't your heart cry out to be understood? Don't you wish people really understand what you meant? Well, do what you can to understand what people mean. And a lot of times you get it wrong. See, when you always are living about you getting your way, you are just going to be one frustrated lady. But if you're living for others and glorifying God, you're free. See, just live mercy. Just be a blessing. Don't be writing down in the ledger of your mind every offense that somebody's done against you. Just forget it. I love it when someone will come and they'll say, oh, Pastor, you remember I did this and this? I am so sorry. And I love it when I can't remember. This is glorious. That's God. And I can't. Well, all right. I forgive you for what I don't remember. You know, oh well. But that's a wonderful thing. God can just wipe it off. I mean, don't think about it. It's okay. You love the person. Have you ever done anything wrong? Have you ever been mean? Ever said things you shouldn't say? Okay. Well, then, you know, just let it go. Be free. Just begin to see people. Just get the eyes of Christ for other people. Start loving them. Oh, just that resentment will melt away. That reaction will melt away. And did you know that in the Old Testament, the word chesed in the Hebrew is a mixture of the word mercy and love. You'll find it translated in the Hebrew love more often mercy. But if you were to ask a Hebrew, what does that mean? They'd say, it's just God who cares about me. Mercy, love, all mixed together. Because love is mercy, mercy is love. putting the other person first, not yourself first. You don't care about yourself. You just are God's tool to be a blessing because you're so grateful for how good he's been to you. You know, again, isn't, you look at that guy that was forgiven his master and goes out and wants this other person beaten for not paying him, you look at that and say, that's atrocious. That's what people do all the time. We're forgiven, but we won't forgive somebody else. I don't know how God puts up with us. And that's how we need to see it. So we must not be a contradiction of terms. And I can tell you right now, you want to, let's say you're in a situation, unsafe people around, and you find yourself getting resentful, do you think you're going to be able to witness those people to know that? You're done. You are showing a totally wrong concept of what salvation is. You're giving works mentality. You earn relationships. That's what's so sad about work salvation. I'm earning my way to heaven. Friend, you can't earn your way to heaven. That's absolutely ridiculous when you think of holy God and how wicked we are. That's why we have to be poverty-stricken in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the same thing is, we don't earn relationships. We decide to have relationships. It's a decision of the will to love and to have mercy. You see how these Beatitudes cut through? Christ, in his simple, direct, beautiful language, is right down to the core of who we are. This was disturbing to the people back in that day. So that's very important. How tragic it is for us who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, not to be good. It's tragic. It's a terrible testimony. And then the final principle here is the Christian who shows mercy gets more mercy. It's sort of like a double portion. God always shows mercy. But when we're not living with resentment, frustration, but we're actually letting God make us the touch point for his mercy in people's lives, he will begin to flood blessing in a double measure. We always have his mercy, but I promise you, the one who shows mercy is enjoying his mercy much more. That's what it says. If we show mercy, from the blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You realize the more you grow closer to the Lord, the more you realize how much God is showing us mercy because you see yourself for who you really are. See, don't be afraid to spiritually grow because it's somewhat painful. You realize, wow, I am really selfish. And I tell young people that are getting ready to get married, I say, you know, you think you're really growing and mature. Wait till you say I do. Then you're going to start all over from scratch. And you're going to realize, you know, I was a whole lot more selfish than I thought. Right? It's just the way it is. Then the anger comes along. You think now, you know, we're really getting somewhere in our marriage. And then comes along your first child. You're going to realize, man, I'm not as free from self as I thought I was. You know, and you break again. It's a constant process. The Lord's good to let that happen. And so as you are merciful, living a life of love, as you see yourself as you are, you just revel in the mercy of the Lord, and you have that blessing. A child who learns to have the right spirit toward his parents and fulfill the fifth commandment, the only commandment with promise, honor thy father and thy mother. Does God show great mercy to that child who chooses to obey and honor his parents? Oh my, does he? It just amazes me. Well, it's the same kind of thing. You honor and show mercy to others, you will be aware of his mercy. Now, I've said this so often, life isn't easy. You're going to face challenges today. But But when you see Jesus and you realize how much he loves you and he's real to you, everything's okay. The problem in our life is all we see is ourselves and circumstances, and that's when we get all bent out of shape. But I say this so often, just meet the Savior and all is well. He's a sovereign God. He's all powerful. He has all wisdom. He's for you. He is right now interceding with the Father. He is on your side. And when you meet with him and your heart is humble and right and you're seeking, searching after righteousness, and you have a heart for others, you will all of a sudden be aware of his mercy. You will revel in that reality. You're okay. And you can stay very steady in your life because you realize all is well. I have a merciful Savior. It is important, folks. It will really help you. And it will help you not react to your children, to your spouse, to people you're working with. When you're aware of his mercy to you, you can't help but be merciful. And when you're merciful to others, you're going to be aware of his mercy. And the flow just gets bigger and better and richer, and you just get more and more free. Don't you love godly people that really do love? Just can't get them offended. And may God make us all that way by his grace.